This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, it's probably not news to you, but energy prices are soaring. On the 1st of July, the energy price cap that's set by Ofgem set to rise by 13% for the period until the end of September, after which it's predicted to rise by another 2 to 3% for the period from October to December. The current increase in prices is largely due to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. And even though renewable energy sources like wind and solar generate an ever-increasing amount of the power that we use, the relatively cheap running costs of wind and solar are not fully reflected in our energy bills. In Britain, the price of wholesale electricity is currently set by the cost of the last unit of electricity needed to meet demand at any given time. So that means that the cost of the electricity needed to top up any shortfall in electricity from sources like renewables and nuclear to meet our current demands, it's the cost of that fixes the price. In Britain, that last unit is more often than not the cost of electricity from gas-burning power stations. So if the cost of gas goes up like it has recently, so do our electricity bills. Now, the government says that it's got plans to weaken this link between the cost of gas and what we pay for energy to protect us from sudden rises in the cost of gas, like those caused because gas from Qatar can no longer travel through the Straits of Hormuz. Yes, let's hope that that happens, but it is out of our control right down there in Westminster. What if there was a way to cheaper, greener electricity right here in our own community? Well, that's the hope of Tony Elkington from Alban Community Energy, or ACE. I spoke to Tony to find out more about community energy and what it is and how it might benefit people and the environment in St Albans District. Tony, thank you for joining me on Environment Matters today. So ACE, it's a cooperative community benefit society, and you're all about community energy in St Albans District. What is community energy?
Thanks for having me on, Amanda. Okay, so community energy is at its core all about bringing energy infrastructure into community ownership. So giving local people control really over how energy is generated and distributed and used and also priced in their local area. And yeah, so there are lots of ways that can be done, but Alban Community Energy is recently established to try and explore what that would look like in St Albans District.
Okay, so it sounds like it could be quite a diverse thing. What kind of projects are you hoping to focus on first?
Good question. Community energy can be a lot of different things. So it can look at renewable energy generation. It can look at providing energy advice for people in reducing their energy usage in their home. It can look at electric vehicles. It can do all sorts of things. We're basically looking to start with a relatively tried and tested model. That's so that we can build momentum with a proven way of doing this. And that will focus on installing larger scale solar installations on buildings in the district. And so the model generally works like this. So you would crowdfund, effectively, you would raise investment from the community to install solar panels on a large roof, which might be on a community centre, a school, a business building, a farm building or something like that. A building that has a large south-ish facing roof can generate a lot of electricity. The building itself has a high energy demand and so would benefit from being able to buy that energy from you. And ideally, the building has a strong community value. And so effectively, the solar panels are owned by the society, the Community Energy Society, and you sell the energy that's generated by the panels to the building.
So let's just look at the benefits one at a time. So let's start off with the roof owner. What benefits do they get?
Yes. Yeah, so the building, we call it a host site. So the building that installs the solar panels, their benefits are that they would buy the electricity that's generated from us, and we would sell that at a price that's lower than their supplier would offer it to them. So they get instant reductions on their electricity bills, and they don't have to pay any of the upfront installation costs because the investment, the capital investment for those solar panels are coming from the community investors.
Okay. And how about for those community investors? What would they get out of this?
Yeah, so it's a great way for local people to invest their savings in a local project that directly benefits their community. So there's definitely a feel-good factor there. But also, most of these projects are able to offer a moderate return. So 3-5% is pretty normal. And that's an annual payment on the shares that they own in the community energy society. So yeah, it's a relatively reliable way of generating financial returns by investing in a project that actually makes a real difference to the community where you are.
Okay. And how about for people who choose to be shareholders in the company itself?
Yeah. So as well as community investors who may be able to put, you know, 100 to several thousand pounds into a given project, we are also hoping to have membership open to anyone. And this will basically allow people to become part of the society, and this will get them a vote in key decisions. So, for example, at the end of our AGMs, at the end of each year, we might set priorities, we might decide how the profits are invested. And a key part of that is that we are hoping that these solar installations will generate enough income to actually generate profits that can go into a community benefit fund. And then our shareholder members will get to democratically decide effectively where that pot of funding should be allocated into the local area.
Okay, so it looks like actually, if this works properly, there should be benefits to the community at various different levels there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the hope is, yeah, we generate electricity that provides energy bill savings for the host site. It generates returns on investment for investors, and it reinvests any profits that we make back into community benefit. Yeah.
And of course, this is a solar project that might well not have happened otherwise. So we're benefiting the environment from that as well.
Yeah. So there's obviously huge potential for emissions reductions and also building our kind of energy resilience. But the environmental side is really important to us. But actually, a lot of our messaging is around reducing bills, improving our resilience, and breaking free, as we've seen from like the fossil fuel crises that are happening at the moment and the costing implications of those. Actually, there are enough reasons for people to get involved with this, even for people that aren't too worried about the environment day to day, but actually the sustainability credentials of moving towards community ownership of energy is an incredible space to be working in.
Yes, I mean, moving towards this kind of energy, the arguments seem to get stronger and stronger by the day, don't they?
Yeah, as I say, this is happening all over already. There are lots of places in the UK. There's Community Energy London and Repowering London who support various community energy groups across London. There's a really successful group in Brighton and Hove called BESCO. There's Bath and West Community Energy. And in the north as well, this is happening all over the UK and also all over the world. I think I read this morning, I think in Germany, around 50% of their renewable energy generating capacity is in some sort of community ownership.
Wow.
So this is a real transition towards taking back control of energy for ourselves.
Yeah.
And reducing the amount of our energy bills that are effectively getting sucked out of the region by big corporate energy companies.
Wow, this feels like a quiet revolution that we just don't really hear about. So great to hear about it from you today, and great to, you know, be giving us a few tips about how we might want to join in. So you've got a film screening coming up at the Odyssey in St Albans on the 13th of June. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're using this event as sort of our launch event for Alban Community Energy. This is a film called Power Station. It has been created by two artists, activists in London, and it sort of documents their journey of trying to get solar panels installed on every house along their street, turning their street into a renewable power station, hence the name. But this film is super inspiring. It's a real story of like community-led energy transition, and it's being shown in community screenings up and down the country. And so it's a really powerful way to start a conversation about what community energy might look like here. And so we're following the screening with a panel Q&A. It'll be hosted by myself, but we'll also have Howard Johns from Pop Energy, who are one of the filmmakers' installers. So he'll be able to give us some insights into their projects. And also joined by Sarah Burgess from Grand Union Community Energy, who are not far from us and have been doing this for a little while, and will be able to give some really good insights into what this might look like for us to kind of attempt this here.
Wow, that sounds like a really quite a positive evening. And when we're talking about the environment, sometimes that's not the case, is it? But this sounds like a really positive event. So obviously come along to the film screening if we are interested, but perhaps if we can't get along to that, if we're interested in, I don't know, finding out more about being a community investor or shareholder, what should we do?
Yeah, so we're still ramping things up. You know, we've registered the community society now, but we're still trying to identify what our initial projects might be that we could get investors involved in. So currently there are no opportunities to invest directly, but the best way to stay updated is to visit the website, which is albancommunityenergy.org. There's a button at the top to join our mailing list, and that's the best way to make sure you receive updates. But you can help us along the way. We're looking for sites that might be suitable for solar installations. So if you own or manage or just know of a building in the St Albans district that could be a good candidate, please, you can find our contact details through the website, but please reach out and let us know, and that will help us get the ball rolling with some initial projects that the community can invest in.
Okay, so you're looking for big roofs, hopefully south facing, on a big building that uses quite a lot of energy during the day when the sun is shining, and hopefully a community building as well.
Yep, nailed it. Exactly that.
Excellent. Now, at the moment, Tony, most of the ACE workforce, as it were, you're volunteers, aren't you? Do you have all the help that you need, or would you like more volunteers?
Absolutely. So we have a founding board of five directors from a range of different backgrounds, plus a couple of extra people who are offering technical support and other forms of support. But this is absolutely, the intention here is to build a community-led movement. And so we would welcome all and any help that's on offer. So if you do have skills, time, networks that you want to offer and support, please do reach out. That could be anything from supporting with social media, organizing and helping us host events, or literally just talking to people about us and what we're doing at the school gate or at the pub. So please do reach out. We very much welcome your help and your support. And these are early days, so any support at this point will just increases our chances of getting this off the ground.
Lovely. Well, it does feel that that's like a little bright spark in what is quite a bleak energy landscape at the moment. So, Tony, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that today.
Thanks, Amanda. Appreciate it.
I was talking there to Tony Elkington from Alban Community Energy. And I'll put a link to the ACE website into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Where I'll also pop a link so that you can book to see the uplifting film Power Station that Tony spoke about at the Odyssey Picture House in St Albans. Now, as Tony said, it's not just St Albans that has a community energy company. JUICE, or the Grand Union Community Energy Group, has been operating since 2012, and it's involved in projects along the Grand Union Canal Corridor from Watford to Tring. Now, particularly exciting is their current groundbreaking project aimed at a sustainable and self-sufficient Kings Langley. Yeah, aimed at the whole village. Well worth checking out whether you live in Kings Langley or whether you're looking for inspiration for a community energy project in your community. And if you've been looking for an opportunity to kickstart some interest in community energy in your area, then check out the Power Station Film website, where they've got lots of details about how you can do a screening of your own. Reducing your energy usage isn't, of course, just about switching to renewable energy. It's also about making your home more energy efficient. And the recent hot weather is a great reminder that summer isn't just a great time to get insulation installed in your home, but also that insulation can help keep your home cool as well as hot. Now, there's lots of free advice locally if you're wondering where to start, if you do want to make your home more energy efficient, cheaper to run, and reduce your greenhouse gas emissions in the process. You might remember that we heard from Helen Burridge of the Hertfordshire Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership here on Environment Matters, and she told us about their roadmap for homeowners seeking to embark on their retrofit journey that includes tailored advice for different types of property. What they did was they looked at five different house types that are most typically found here in Hertfordshire, and then they looked specifically at what a house like each of those needs to upgrade so that it can be cheaper to run and more sustainable. And yes, I'll pop a link to that podcast so you can hear Helen telling us all about that into the show notes so that you can take a listen and check out their advice. Then there's Sustainable St Albans. They've got pages on their website where they've collected together advice on insulation, on draft proofing, solar panels, and lots more. It's a really good starting point if you're wondering where to start. Also worth checking out is advice from local eco-renovation guru Judith Leary-Joyce, and her website Eco Renovation Home has lots of advice on insulation, heat pumps and renewable energy, much of which Judith has learnt whilst doing a full eco renovation on her own end of terrace house in St Albans. And her eco renovation resulted in her cutting her energy bills by a whopping 75%. Really shows what can be achieved. Judith's also written two books, A Beginner's Guide to Eco-Renovation and What the Builder Won't Tell You, and both of them are packed with practical and clearly explained advice. So are you taking steps to reduce your energy usage and cut your bills? Any tips on what's working for you? Do let me know via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.